There's a medrash in Breishis Rabba which says, it's by the pasuk of Yaakovinu, Parshas Vayetze, pasuk Membeis. Lavan meets up with Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu responds, "Lulei Elokei Avi Elokei Avram Upakad Yitzchak Hayuli Ke'ata Rekem Shilaktoni." If not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Elokei Avi of Avram and Yitzchak, who stood by me, Ke'ata Rekem Shilaktoni, I would have been sent out with nothing. As on Yives Yigia Kapai Roy Elokim VaYochak Hamechem, because of my on Yives Yigia Kapai, because of my affliction and my hard work, Roy Elokim VaYochak Hamechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you off last night and told you not to share me and not to start off with me. He says Lavan was coming to attack Yaakov Avinu, to harm him, and because of his anyivet, he gave a cup by Royal Kim Vayokakem, which Kadosh Baruch Hu prevented him by being niglad. He revealed himself to Lavan and told him not to do it. And the Breishis Rabba darshins the following. Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar, Chavivahya Malacha, Mischus Avos. Malacha is more cherished by Kadosh Baruch Hu than Schus Avos itself. Why? Because Avos Hitzila Mamon. Schus Avos was only capable of preventing a loss of Mamon. Or Malacha, but the work that Yaakov Avinu did, Hitzila Nefashes, even saved lives. Schus Avos Hitzila Mamon, Shenema Lule Lekei Avi Be'ezri, what would happen? I would have been sent out at the Rekum Shilaktoni. I would have gotten nothing. So because of Schus Avos, I was able to come home with something. I was able to have the all the cattle that he was able to get from Lavan. Or Malacha, however, my malacha etzila nefashos, the malacha of Yaakov Avinu saved lives, because it says it's on yivetz yigia kapay ro lokim ayukah kamesh. Lavan were trying to come to harm Yaakov Avinu, and he was saved because of his hard work. Now, what's trying to medrash, a number of mefarshim, I'll take one, is basically you see that someone who labors, someone who is a worker, a devoted, dedicated worker, like Yaakov Avinu was, like we see from the psukim, in fact, halachas of laborers were learned out from Yaakov Avinu. Yitzchak will discuss one of them tonight. He did it with devotion, and therefore that was a schus. He did a be'emuna, that was a schus that saves lives. Beprat, if you look in the pasuk says both. Beprat, when you're dealing with someone like Lavan, who rooked him, who knows how many times. The pasuk says before, Zeh esrei shana nikimcha. And I did such good work. His hard work, but what happened? But you, Lavan, you rooked me again and again and again. It's one thing to be a dedicated, devoted worker when it's, you know, mutually, when it's mutual, when the employer is nice to the employee. But when the employer is terrible to the employee, who takes advantage of the employee, who did something even shalai kidin, aseres mainim, 100 times, and afo pikin, you're still devoted, and you're still working be'amuni, you're still doing what Yaakov Avinu did, gnufsi yem, gnufsi loilo, that's even a greater madrega. That's a great madrega of someone who's working, who's devoted, and who does a be'amuna. And such a emuna, such a malacha be'amuna, that has a koyak to save lives. That's a koyak to save, to do atzolos nefashos. And we're proud of what you see from here. The Be'em is, l'chayr, this is the first galus that Klal Yisrael went to. Yaakov Avinu went to Lavan, and that was like a sort of a galus. Mm-hmm. He had to leave his hometown. And his yitziah, his geula from this galus, came through his anyves yigia kapai. So too, the geula from Mitzrayim, our pasha that we're discussing now, this week's pasha, geulas Mitzrayim, the pasuk in Dvarim, Perikovot Pasek Zayin, which we say as well in the Haggadah, Vayaris, Anyenuves, Amaleinuves, Lachatzeinu, and there too it says, because Hashem saw us as our Anyenuves, Amaleinu, which Targum touches at the same lotion over here, as Anyenuves, Yigi Kapai, Targum has the same over there, Yigi Kapai and Amaleinu is both touched layers. It's the same touch, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw us Amaleinuves, Lachatzeinu, therefore he saved us, therefore we were Zecha to the Geula. Which is Aistois, it's not Stam an Indian, but if we're trying for the Geula, it's Vaisa, it's very Choshev, Beni Amokam, that's even more Chaviv and Nanschus Avos, to do Malacha B'Emuna B'Prat when you're working for someone who's taking advantage from you. It's a big Nisayan to be Meir Heta, but that's what we should strive for. Right, last week we mentioned a very Yisaitzistik Asif, it's Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Aleph. Now, I'd just like to repeat two important points. One is, it's probably one of the most frequently quoted Ramaz there are. Is the end of the Ramah, that the Ramah says that you want to know what a minig is. This is, by the way, this siman talks about kaveh, what minogam are. The Ramah says that a minig has to be dover, which is shchiach v'nasa harbi pomim. It's a very important Ramah to know and to record, because you're going to see him, Yad Hashem, throughout Kosher Mishpat, this Ramah is quoted by Chuvis as well. Another point which we discussed last week was the Yerushalmi, and I would just like to make a sikkum because some of the Olam wasn't klar and there were a lot of facts. I would like to give the sikkum. Basically, is if you'll have someone who, let's say, we'll take the example we gave last week, New Jersey is a the market in New Jersey, let's say, is low wages than compared to New York. It's more expensive employment in New York. And you'll have someone from New York coming to New Jersey to work or vice versa. What do you go? Do you go bust at the price of New York? The higher price, you go bust at the price of New Jersey. Basically, I'll give you six cases, and this should be the sequel. If the employee goes to the other town, wherever it is, New Jersey goes to New York, or New Yorker goes to New Jersey, and he hires himself out in that town where he now moved to, or he is employed there, then it's clear that you go bust at the point of contract, of the points of employment. If a New Jersey person goes to New York and hires himself out in New York, he's entitled a higher price. That's a given. Those are two cases. Say if he goes up in price, say if he goes down, wherever he's employed, if he goes there, if the employee travels there, that's fine. Then you go bust to the point of contract. If you have a case where the employee is in the more expensive, let's say, in New York, and the employee is in New Jersey, and now the employer goes to New York to hire him. So again, if he goes to New York and he's hired in New York, again, you'll have to go bus to the place where the contract was done and the pula was done there as well. And vice versa as well. If the person in New York travels to New Jersey to hire somebody in New Jersey, which is a cheaper price, and the work is performed in New Jersey, about you go bus at a point in New Jersey. It means I call, in these four cases I just gave you, everything goes bus to the mokum shesakha shamabaylam, like the Ramah says. Now there are two cases which is the machlekes amongst the achrayim, one is a Yerushalmi, the other is a machlekes, and that is if you'll have somebody who goes from New Jersey to New York to hire an employee to bring him back to New Jersey. Or someone who goes from New York to New Jersey to hire an employee and bring him back to New York. On those cases, the Yerushalmi mentions one of them. The Yerushalmi says that if you'll have someone who goes from a more expensive place, from New York, to go to New Jersey, which is a cheaper place, to bring him back to New York, the price will go bust in New Jersey, the cheaper price, even though the malacha was performed in New York. And the reason is, the employer claims that why in the world do you think I came down to New Jersey? I had 100 workers willing to do the job in New York. I only came down to New Jersey because I want to benefit from the cheaper price, from the cheaper makom that's typically employed in New Jersey. So that's why I hired the lawyer from New Jersey or whatever it is, whatever professional it is. The inverted case, if someone goes from New Jersey to New York, and now he's traveling to a more expensive place to bring him back to New Jersey, that is the machlokes amongst the boyskim. And the way the Panim Meiris and Ramosh and many other tshuvas come out is that in that case, the employee is entitled to the higher price as well. If he goes from New Jersey to New York to hire him and bring him back to New Jersey, he's still entitled to his higher price of New York. That was a makom where the contract was done, even though the malacha was performed in New Jersey. And that's basically a sikkum. We discussed last week that in the modern day, we could really have a monkey wrench thrown into here that really you don't really meet. You call on the phone, you send an email, whatever it is, and you never left your place, he never left his place. What is that considered? Are you being hired as a point of contract in New York or New Jersey where you sent the email or where you wrote the email from? Or if you want to go bust to the makom pula, like the other cheaters, you want to know where the pula performed. If you wrote the email here, or you did the malach here to send over there, if you're going through PC anywhere, and you're working on someone else's computer across states, that we discussed that the Panim Meiris is pretty clear that everything is talik where you are. When you wrote the email, when you sent the fax, when you wrote the letter, whatever it is, if you're here, that is the makom. We mentioned that the Shoyal wrote to Rav Moshe, he learned up the Chayr wrong trat in the Panim Meiris and said the Panim Meiris said faked. And he wanted to argue with the Panim Meiris, and Rav Moshe went to back this would-be Panim Meiris that says, no, you go basa, so where the pula was. Second, I think I just mixed up the two. He had a case, the Panim Meiris said the case, you go basa where the pula was performed, and Rav Moshe said, faked, you go basa where he wrote the email, where he did the malacha. And I said, Lokari, the show fed him wrong facts. Had he known the Panim Meiris would say faked, who said he would have argued to back up this Panamiris, so to speak, to argue with the Panamiris. And Baruch Hashem, this week I saw that there's a truth with Tzela Chokma. Apparently the Shoel wrote the Shoel to many people. He wrote to Loharis Nosen, to Yigris Moshe, to Shevet Alevi, and Lachai wrote to Tzela Chokma as well. He didn't say who the Shoel was, but he fed Betzel HaKachman the wrong facts as well, but Betzel HaKachman went and said, no, I looked at the Panimiris, and he says Faket, and he goes through throughout the Tshuva why it's Faket. All right, that's a Maimah Musko. Okay, but let's start. We're up to Sif Beis and Shin Lamed Aleph. Makum Shenagu Lozen Yizon. If the Makum is, HaKachminag HaMedina, we mentioned in Sif Aleph, we're going to mention again in Sif Beis. Makum Shenagu Lozen Yizon. If typically, when you hire an employee, you serve him lunch, or you serve him nash, you have a cake and donuts or a coffee, if that's typical employment, and that's the minig, then you have to provide that to your employees. If it's a sapik, begrainis, or betmarim, or chiyetze behem, yesapik. Whatever is typical, that's what you have to do. That's what you have to provide. Hakol k'minigah medina. Whatever the minigah medina is, that's what you have to do. Not more, not less. And the Sma points out, if you look in Sifkot and Dalet, the Sma points out, Hakol k'minigah medina, v'afilu haya minig be'ir, liten lem mezaynis, v'usach ha'poylem, opasach len mezaynis. Even though the minig was already to serve lunch, and you went out and you wrote in your contract that you're going to provide him with food, lo yaminin, we don't say, midenochas lifsek len, why'd you go ahead and write this in the contract if it's parcha, if that was the standard anyway? V'lo yitzarech lifsek makha, shekena minig, shema mino shedaito yulitfu yulen ala mezaynis shenogu, that we don't say. We don't say that if you went ahead and you wrote in the contract and you didn't have to because it was anyway industry standard, that it should somehow indicate that if you wrote it, that you're going to give him even more than the typical lunch. You're going to give him sudasa kishleima melech, whatever, you're going to give him special gourmet lunches. No, that you don't say. The person put it into his contract, but he didn't mean more than whatever is in the minigah medina. Hakol k'minigah medina. And in this k'yetzid behem, what is included in this k'yetzid behem? The Knesset HaGadela points out that if you have this minig to feed your employee, so too your responsible for his refuah. If he needs a doctor, medical benefits, you're mechuyev to provide that as well. Now, I don't think that the minig is like that today, but min hastam. So in health insurance and things like that, if that would be the typical, that would be the minig, maybe that's how you can stretch that Knesset HaGadela. But he was talking about not just the health insurance, he was talking about if a guy was sick, you have to pay his doctor bills, or pay his medicine, or his, whatever it is, antibiotics. That you don't have to do. Lukari, today we don't have the minig. Knesset HaGadela says, unless you have the minig otherwise, Lukari, today's minig is not to. But if yes, if you'll have, it's a good point, if you'll have a minig to provide health insurance, health benefits, you'll have to do that. Another interesting point, where here it says, HaKol k'minigah medina, it's not really in Chayshu Mishra, it's in Ari Chaim, it's a halacha which very few people are familiar with. And Kuf Samach Tes is a halacha that if you're eating something, you have a mishareis who's serving you something, serving you lunch, supper, your batla, whatever it is, a Yiddish batla, and it's something which smells good, it's kiyuo, it has a reyak, you're mechuyiv to offer something to the batla. You're mechuyev to give this person, and it doesn't have to be in a worker. If you're in a workplace environment and you'll have an employee or a fellow colleague and you ordered lunch and it happens to smell and that the next person could smell it, you would be mechuyev to offer that person, would you like to have you don't have to give him your meal, you don't have to give him half your meal, but you have to give him a taste. So if you have, I know you ordered onion rings or french fries, you would have to tell the employee next to you, would you like some onion rings? You open up a bag of potatoes, I guess if it's barbecue potatoes, something really smells, you would have to offer your fellow, and in employment as well, if the balabas does it, he'd be mechuyev. Yes, you would be mechuyev to give them food. Again, if it's a Yiddish or waiter, something like that, you'd be mechuyev. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Bi'alacha mentions a few exceptions, and that is, for example, he says that if the person's anyway eating, if anyway he could help himself, you don't have to give him first. Halacha, actually, you have to give him first. You don't have to, if he's anyway eating, or let's say it was understood that the waiters are supposed to eat, the waiters are supposed to help themselves and take supper in the kitchen, whatever it is, that's fine, even if they're serving you supper first. But stam, if it's in an environment where he's not eating from you, you would have to give food. And the Bir Halacha brings out from the Magen Avraham that it wouldn't even help to make a t'nai. You can't start off the employment and say, put it in one of the lines of the contract, a writer saying that I'm not going to share with you my food, my lunches, my zavis. That would not work because you're being masna on something which is a tzar de guf, which you have no right no right, and you're not becholtoy to be moichel.
The chayyut
is fakir. The halakha is brought down employer with the employee, but lechayyut the way the price can bring down, it's irrelevant. It could be fakir as well. It could be stand with a colleague. But since the halakha is brought down employee, I figured I would mention it here.
Even though he has lunch himself.
If your lunch smells good, he wants a bite of your lunch.
It's
the second you smell, your glands go. I don't think you have to know. If you pass by a nice bakery shop, your tivus starts as well, even though you're not. He's not giving you something. Sorry. He smells something. It's a natural reaction. When you smell, you salivate, right? That's a natural reaction. In fact, the Gemara says it's dangerous, and if you do salivate, you're supposed to spit out and not swallow it, because it could be sakana.
What about Goyish and co-workers?
I didn't see the halakha brought down by Goyim, so I would assume it does not apply. It's a special halakha.
He can go to the cafeteria. I work in the cafeteria. Is that called that he can also go and get it on his own?
It sounds like I would have to, if I give him the money to pay for it, that'd be fine, but I can't expect him to buy it himself. It sounds like you're supposed to share from your own food. That's the halakha. I didn't see any this exception. One halakha that the halakha mentions is that this you could get out of the problem is that you do write in the contract at the beginning that you're giving him free right to partake in any of your food that you order. So this way you don't have to offer him every single time you order lunch. He knows he could always take a bite out of your lunch and that will be fine. But in absence of that, if you don't have that tonight, the halakha says it's a problem. All right. Let's move on. Yeah. It is an Urukhaim Sun Kuf Samach Tet.
So a secretary links, that's a lady that is good.
I didn't see any exception by a lady. If you have a tzniyas problem, and I would suggest that maybe order two sets of onion rings or two french fries or whatever it is. All right, let's move on.
I just see more in the pamphlet that they were giving out if you want your entire or whatever. Tzniyas.
All right, look, I don't know. I didn't see that halakha mentioned. You can look at Mishra Berurah. It's a Siman Kuf Samach Tes. Let's
go more topic. What about
health insurance? Health insurance is only hakolah fi aminik. You're allowed to be masked and say that you don't want to give health insurance, so that would be fine. If there's a minute that every company gives health insurance, I don't know if that's the case, because probably the difference is 80-20, 90-10, how much you have to chip in. All right, let's move on. There's a Gemara which says, the Gemara in the beginning was, sorry? No, if the minig is to feed the people, you're allowed to be matzah. Kol lefi tanai, the end of the Mechab and Sefala says, kivit shalisna kem b'shosh esokhan. So you're allowed to be masna on these monogam. The only exception is that one in Kuf Samech Tes, because it's a tzar de gov, and you have no right, the Magen Avraham says, you can't be meichel a tzar de gov. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara talks about Aseichas Apoyalim, and it says, V'amalem l'ashkum al-harev, like we had last week, or to be lozen, yozen, l'safek, m'mesiko, yisafek, that was this week, that's Sifbeis. And the Gemara says, Pshita, it's Pasha that I call a fi haminik. Why doesn't Mishnah have to give you a bunch of examples? And the Gemara says, L'tzriko de tofalu agrayu, he end up paying him higher wages than a typical employee. That, let's say, starting salary is typical $25, and he started out with $30. So it's like a dumb mudim, I paid you more. Mao du tema, you would think, amalu hodata foiluchu agrayhu. The reason why he started you out at a higher paying salary is adaita de mekadmisa mechashkisa badoi. The reason why he did it was in order to force you to be mashkam ma'arif, to put in longer days than the industry standard. Kamash Malon, the Gemara says Kamash Malon, the Amulay, they could reply, the Poylam have it teretz, hide the toughest lawn. The reason why you paid us more is Adaita Davdino Lakavidita Shabirta. It's because you want her to be more responsible, to do a better job, but not because you had any ideas to veer off from the regular typical minig of La Ashkum al-Harab, which was what we had in Sif Aleph, which is brought down in Sifkat and Aleph. And so too, the Ksais points out, is in Sif Beis as well. If you pay them more, you can't say the reason why I paid you more is in order not to feed you lunch. I know that every major firm supplies in the cafeteria lunch or supplies coffee or water fountain, whatever it is, and I, Bedavka, paid you more to make up for that, and I won't supply you with meals. That you don't have a right to do if the minig is yet to supply. Now, you can have numerous shailas, but for example, what happens if you hire, we had these shilohs, what happens if you hire a fundraiser and make up with him, he's going to take 40% of whatever he raises. And at the end of the day, at the end of the year, he comes back to you, look, he raised, you know, $200,000, he takes his 40%, and then all of a sudden he hits you with a $25,000 traveling expense bill. And you say, well, the reason why I gave you 40%, let's say industry standards only to give 30%, the reason why I gave you 40% is to cover for traveling expenses. I know that industry standards, let's say that the employer, the mice that you pay for the traveling expenses, that Bedefka gave you a higher wage in order to be mavliya, to be kail of that in your commission, so this way you won't come back to me with this bill. You could have another case, which we had, is you'll have a telemarketer on the same idea, and you, let's say she comes back and she tells you, look, I raised this amount of money, whatever it is, and I worked this amount of hours, but also I did a lot of long distance calls, and this is the phone bill. And he can say, look, the reason why I paid you more, let's say he wants to count it, the reason why I paid you a higher salary per hour, I paid you $12 per hour, the going rate is $10 per hour, is to cover the expenses of the long distance charges. Then you can have stamas that you can have with employees. Let's say you have an employee. We had once a shaila with a traveling agent that she was paid a higher salary, and the employer said the understanding was, it wasn't spoken out, but his understanding was, it's a very intense business, especially in the summer, and every, let's say, company offers 2 weeks vacation. I bedafka gave you a higher salary so that you should not take off industry standard of 2 weeks vacation. Or you should not take off sick days, or you won't be paid for sick leave, anything like that, and that's why I paid you more. Again, if it would be going against the minig, would that be an etza? Or if I paid you, let's say it's a broker or something like that, where a secretary, I paid you a higher price today, that you shouldn't take off an hour lunch break or a half hour lunch break, you should only eat in between phone calls or something like that, and that's why I paid you the higher salary, do you have that right? Someone behind the counter has to be there. You can't just take off lunch for an hour. Who's going to man the counter? So that's why I paid you a higher price today, that you should man the counter and eat, you know, in between customers. Now, l'chayra, this is should be the shaila here. Here you have a case, you have a minig on one hand. On the other hand, you have a dhamma medium, and which one overrules? L'chayra from the Gemara, the Ksais points out, is that you see from the Gemara that minig is supreme. You can say that the reason why you paid more, you could always be told on some excuse, you wanted me to do a more responsible, a better job, but the Dhamma Medim will not work. The fact that you paid a higher price is not an indication to override a minik. It cannot do away with a minik. It can't beat a minik. Now, the Ksais brings down the Shaila from the Chumash Hadashin, which seemingly says the Faket. The Maisa was that a person had to schlep, to go from city to city, and he paid him, the going rate then was 7, and he paid him 10 to do the malacha. And before the worker left on his journey, on his shlichus, the balabas, the employer, was not around. So the employer went over to some edim, and he said, you should know, I'm going on this trip, but I expect to be paid, to be compensated for the hitzlais of traveling expenses. And I expect, aside from my regular salary. He couldn't tell his employer, wasn't around, and he went on the trip. And now he wants the money, besides the 10, he wants the money, let's say $2 for the trip. And the employer said, look, you know and I know that, and everyone's made it, that the going rate is 7, the reason why I paid you 10, to cover your traveling expenses. And the Chumash Hadashin sided with the employer and said that Domim Medim will override the minig. That even though the minig was to pay hitzayis of traveling expenses separately, it was 7 plus expenses, since he paid him 10, the 10 is koilo the expenses as well. And the Ksais asks, according to Mufusha Gemara Faket, this Gemara says, and it's halacha, that we do not say Domin Mudim against the Minig. And this is $1 million kasha. Everyone goes to town to try to answer this kasha. Ksais, the Zivis.
See, Paul, we have the halacha
also
to give him extra money that you can't save.
Correct. That's a semantic of cotton out. That's really the Gemara, that's the same thing. And the Ksais asks from this Gemara that you see that Domin Mudim does not work against the Minig. The Minig reigns. The minig is, if the minig is not to be mashkim amayiv, you don't have to, even though you paid more. So too, l'chayra, if the minig was to pay expenses, traveling expenses separately, who cares? You have dhamma medim that you paid more, that's not going to help to cover for traveling expenses. You would have to pay 10 plus traveling expenses, plus the 2 for traveling expenses. How come the Chumash Hadashin paskin not like that, and says that dhamma medim says that the 10 included the traveling expenses? As I fact excise, and there are numerous terutim, I'd like to discuss 2 terutim. One is the Aruch HaShulchan. He says that Dhamma Medim, that cannot go against the minig, is only if it is a little increase in salary. But if there's a major increase, like over there, went from 7 to 10, there we will say Dhamma Medim. problem with Derech HaShulchan is that there's no such concept. We learned last year in Reish Lama Beis of Kaf Gimel the principles, and in Reish Lama Gimel as well, the principles of Dhamma Madim. There's no chilek in Dhamma Madim. A lot extra, or really a lot extra, doesn't make a difference. There are Rishonim who give a Hagdorah, when do we say Dhamma Madim? Whether it's a Shtos or Yais Mishtos. But let's say if we paskin that the Shir is a Shtos, the second you give more than the shtus, there's a concept called Dhamma Medim. There's no difference if you give a shtus more or a shlish more or a keflayim more. Once you're in the realm of Dhamma Medim, the Chaya, either Dhamma Medim works or Dhamma Medim doesn't work. So what's Pratna Aruch HaShulchan that he says that if it's a lot, it will work. If it's not a lot, it won't work. And what would be the Hagdara to that as well? I would like to suggest that the Chaya Aruch HaShulchan means the following. The Gemara really does entertain the Dhamma Medim. Does say that you have to, for why you got paid more. But the Pailim could say, Dhamma Relay had the Tavis Luna, that the Davdin and Lakar Avidat Shabirta. So Lakar, the Aruch HaShulchan means the following. If you give a little more, so you can always be Taylor, I'm giving you a little more, that's because you want me to do a better job, more responsible, more receptive. That you could be Taylor, a little increase, in case 20% increase, 15% increase, that I can be Taylor for a better job. But if you can give me from 7 to 10, which is almost a 50% increase, that's going to be a little difficult to be toiler, just to be a little more responsible. And therefore, that Dhamma Medim, you don't have the excuse, you don't have anything else to be toiled on, other than the fact that you want to include traveling expenses. And if you work with that Agdar, you'll have to know today, if you want to force a person not to take vacation, you have to know how much more you gave, even if it's in the realm of Dhamma Medim, is it so much more that you can say that it wasn't for anything else but to Bavon traveling, or but to Bavon vacation, or sick leave, or whatever it is. That could be Pratna Aruch HaShulchan, although he saw some. I'm asking. Look, we have a raya from last year, we have a raya for Ket from the Ktzais. We learned the topics of Reish Lama Beis of Mekav Tois. The halacha by Mum on the Maccabi in Reish Lama Beis Sivov, the Maccabi says, Kosher Skimo Lov B'Neim Medina, Shum Mum, Shem Magzirim Boyam Mekav, Hareza Magzirim Boyam. You can return something if it's a Mum, that everyone, the Shteg in the Medina, it's everyone in the world, if they'll find something broken, they buy a pen and the pen leaks, everyone will return their pen. Any mum, which is across the board, it's the minik to return, that's considered a mum that you're allowed to return. That's considered a mekach tois. This is Dr. Machaba, it's a Rambam. Now, look, we also know the Rishonim Radoch, Agoyis HaShri, the Kirit Malachrav brings it down, or Zeruah's Mavu like that, I think it's a Chuvah Radvaz as well, if I recall correctly, that says that you could have Dhamma Medim by a mum. For example, if I'll sell you I sold you a horse at half price, and then you came back and told me, I said, the horse doesn't run so quick, and let's say it's even a mum, it limps, you can tie in it. Well, it's clear from the fact that I gave you such a great price, it was clear that something was defective with it, otherwise I wouldn't have given to you at that price. And the halacha would be like the moicha, they say, because Dhamma Medim, that you bought it, I died to the hachi to buy it with the mum. You can't tie in a mekach tois. Now there you see a case that the minig, it's standard not to accept a limping horse. And nevertheless, because you gave it at a cheaper price, we could say Dhamma Medim overrides the minig. Even the minig is no one would accept that. Dhamma Medim says, I died to the hachi, you must have bought it and you can't come claim mekach tois. So how come over here we see that Dhamma Medim cannot go against the minig? Now, I would like to suggest the following chilek, the following agdar. And there are many rites, I'd rather not go into it tonight, but I believe this should be the klal gadol that you should know for Dhamma Medim. What is the concept of Dhamma Medim? Dhamma Medim means that I didn't reduch, I didn't have to mention sick leave, I didn't have to mention there that the horse limps. It's because it was clear, it was a clear indication from the fact that I gave you at such a good price that it wasn't a perfect horse. If I sell you a car, if I sell you a Lexus for $5,000, you know that this is not a brand new Lexus. You know it's not going to be in tip-top condition, because otherwise you would never get it for this price. And you can't come back to claim that Kaktoris. It means even though I didn't mention its problems, but the fact that I gave you at that price, the price mentioned its problems. It was explicit through its price. I didn't explicitly reduch all the problems, but it was clear from the price. The price already spoke and already said that it has its problems. So the Dhamma Medim will say how we did the deal. The monogam that we're talking about here in the Tzchiyas Pailim, Lashkum Larev, was talking about a minig that was across the board that no one was Mashkum Amarev even with it tonight. At Kedei Kach, for example, that we had last week, Ricky Vega says that if someone claims, let's say you're in a mokum, let's say industry standard would be to do work from 9 to 5, and I hire you, and later on I claim that, you know, you're really supposed to go from 8 to 7. And you say, no, you never told me. And I said, I did tell you. Now it's a machloki, it's a bori against a bori. And I'll even be a muksik. I didn't pay you yet. And I want to prorate your salary because you only showed up at 9 to 5. And I want you to work from 8 to 7. I even explicitly made up in the contract, it's 8 to 7. Nevertheless, you are not neman. The employee is neman because you're not neman against the minik. That's how clear the minik is. So we're talking about a case where B'derech Klal, people, not only was it a minig, but minastam, but it was even a minig, even with a tonight. It means B'derech Klal, no one even was masna to change this industry standard of the day, of the times of the day, of eight, of 9 to 5. And Lashkum or Lozen, if the minig was that everyone supplies coffee and no one doesn't, if there be everyone supplies lunch, it wasn't even an exception. There weren't even people who even were masna in the contract otherwise. It was across the board that everyone got lunch or everyone went from 9 to 5. And therefore you're not even neman with a tainus bari that you explicitly made up with the guy otherwise. In that realm, then I could hear the Gemara. The Gemara said that Dhamma Medim does not override a minig. The minig is so clear that even if you have Dhamma Medim, we won't be telling you Dhamma Medim to say that you meant to go against the minig. Because even to say, in the Vardis, even to use the Dhamma Medim to say that you made it tonight, that should be in place of your tonight, that too is going against the minig. Because the minig was not even to be made. There are many gemaras that people sometimes used to buy things with mumen. But there are klal min hastam, people don't buy things with mumen. But there are times, if you read the Chlehedja, I'm buying a used car, if a used car would be sold as new, that would be a big mum. But people, there is a used car market. People do buy cars with mumen, and it's fine. So therefore, min hastam, there's a minig that min hastam people want only a new car, let's say. If you buy a car, you expect it to be new. And if you get a used car, you're short change, that's a mum. But there are many people who are masna to buy used cars. There are many people who are masna to do other things. There are many people who are masna not to take, let's say, a full hour lunch break. And there are many people who are masna not to be supplied with lunch. Or there are people who are masna not to have health benefits. If there's a room in this industry that there's mokum for a tonight, then Dhamma Medim won't be going against the minig. Because naniach, the minig is to always supply lunch. But the Dhamma Medim would be, will act in the place of the Tanai, would say that I was masna. The Dhamma Medim gufa is the hasna, that I was masna, that I'm not going to be supplied lunch. And that's not connected minig. I'm allowed to be masna. People are masna. Maisim b'kol yom, people are masna. So therefore, that Dhamma Medim is not against the minig. But if it will be an industry standard that no one even waives it, no one even puts that in the Tanai, yes, then Dhamma Medim will not be able to go against the minig. In the case of Truman Zedesh, I would like to suggest it's the same thing. That over there, at times, people used to structure their deal differently. Instead of structuring their deal in two prices, you know, 7 for the work and 2 for the expenses, they used to give one price that covers everything. They'll say that it's 10 or 9 for the whole job, including expenses. So the Dhamma Medim would have a right to go against the minig, because the minig is only minastam people paid separately for their traveling expenses. But people sometimes were masna as well. So the Dhamma Medim is like I was masna. That's what Dhamma Medim gufa does. It's an indication of our agreement. So I'm allowed to be masna. It's not against the minik. But Shankin, the Gemara is talking about that no one used to be mashkam amarev. Their Dhamma Medim is going against the minik, because to say that my Dhamma Medim acted like a tanai, that gufa is against the minik, because no one was masna. And therefore, if you want to apply today to, let's say, fundraisers or whatever it is, in all the examples, you would have to know, are anyone in the industry, do anyone structure their deal like that to say that Dhamma Medim would have a makom? If no one would do that, then Dhamma Medim cannot go against the minig. If it's a clear minig that everyone gets paid for traveling expenses, if let's say you're a salesman and you work for a company and it's clear across the industry that everyone gets paid for the traveling expenses separately, he's reimbursed for those expenses, and no one is masna otherwise, then to say that you paid him a high salary, that he should take on his own traveling expenses, no, you would not be neman, because Dhamma Medim can't go against the minig, since the minig was not even to be masna like that.
There is a minig on the domim also, how much you pay. So if he pays something that nobody would pay, that's also a minig that shows that...
It shows that you're doing for something, but you can't use that as an indication against the minig. That's from the Gemara, you see, that the fact I paid you more, I cannot say that the kavanah was to get to be mashkem amayev, or the kavanah was to forgo lunch. That I cannot do.
I'm saying, if nobody ever paid such an amount for...
So must be you hold that this employee is great, or maybe you overpaid for your employee and you made a mistake. You don't understand the shahr, and maybe you're going to Chazanah. We discussed about employees. But Dhamma Medim cannot work unless you tell me... If you tell me that in the industry there's standard, that someone gets paid $10 an hour means that he... does get lunch, and someone who pays $20 an hour doesn't get lunch, if that would be the industry standard, then that's fine. And that's not even going against the minhag at all. That I think even excites me more. I think that's partial. But we're talking about a normal case. That's not the case. But some people are sometimes masna, then Dhamma Medim could say, well, that acts as a hasna, because that's what Dhamma Medim is an indication. But
what you're saying is that this is like a special...
Well, there's Dominic. No one ever yet was paid at that price to know...
There would be a guess, but what I'm saying is it sounds almost as if that there's a standard minhag, and then there's a secondary minhag. That's what it sounds like. And the Dhamma Medim is showing you that that's the minhag you go with. In other words...
It's not a secondary minhag, but it's a hasna. There is a makom, right? There is a minhag, but there's a minhag for a makom for hasna, and Dhamma Medim says, I just made the hasna. Dhamma Medim was the hasna itself. I just contracted you on these terms, because that's what Dhamma Medim says is an indication of the terms. We just touched it last week. Perhaps you go with the Yidin, there's a rivet which says, makom that there's no minhag amongst the Yidin, you go with the goyim. I'd rather not get into it. It's a major mavuka. With Mashkin and Hashach, it's I'm trying to avoid it. All right, let's move on. Now, I should really point out, it says over here, Kol Kuminig HaMedina. Medina typically normally means a country. Here it doesn't have to be a country. If you'll have per city, per state, per town, rather there's a Mishnah Berurah in Aruch Chaim who also wants over there it says Lashon Makab, also it's Kaminaga Medina or something in Medina, and the Mishnah Berurah points out it doesn't mean Medina, it means ear. Obviously you go bust at the ear. We can cut it down in a local, you know, a local to Lakewood's Minhagen versus Tom Rivers Minhagen or whatever. You don't have to say it has to be America versus Canada. Minaga Medina is even bust at the ear. Now if you want to know, for example, what would be, let's say, for severance pay, unemployment, pitzoyim, as it's known in Eretz Yisrael, that will, again, differ from makom to makom. There are many, many truths on it. Maybe we'll discuss it later on. I saw numerous dini Torah in Eretz Yisrael. It's a hot topic there. The other minig is that they pay 1 month per year. If the employee worked for you for 6 years, you have to give him 6 months severance pay. If he worked for you for 10 years, you have to give him 10 months severance pay of the salary when he leaves. I don't believe that's a minig here, but I don't know. But you should know that even if there's no minig, it's important. I would like to say over a chinuch, to shtick on the gate to this week's parsha as well, about hanukkah, about avodim. When an eved ivri, there's a principle, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to be give an eved ivri hanukkah. When he leaves, you're supposed to give him a gift. It's supposed to be shloshim sloyim. And the chinuch fears at the end of this mitzvah, he says, so we don't have the mitzvahs Eved Ivri today. That's an Indian, he's supposed to learn out the yisoid of the mitzvahs of Hanukkah, it's Eved Ivri. The chinuch applies to all workers, even if it's a worker for his man mu'it. There's an Indian that you give him severance pay when he leaves, even if he leaves without being fired. And Eved Ivri was only for a certain amount, 6 years. After that, he gets Hanukkah. Even if you have an employee who made up, he's only working for you for 6 years. And when he leaves, you're supposed to give him a gift as well. And there it's Shalashim Slayim. But the Lashon of the Chinuch is, you're supposed to give him B'tzeis Mima Mashiach Bircho Hashem. And the reason he cuts on that Lashon is that there's a halach in the Gemara that there's Ika Din is Shalashim Slayim. But if Yitzhak was successful by having him with you, even though it wasn't, you can't pinpoint directly to him, but you see that over the period of time that he was working for you, you prospered, you're supposed to give him more, Mashiach Bech Hashem, to the Eved Ivri more than Shloi Shem Sloi. And the Minchas Chinuch brings down a Rashi, the Pasuk says, may I say it over, Pasuk in Dvarim says, in Perek Tezvav, Pasek Tezvav, V'zokharta ki evet o yisa beretz Mitzrayim v'yiftuk Hashem alokecha alkeinu noichim mitzavich es adov azeh ayoyim to be hanik tanik loy. Why? Because you were an evet in Mitzrayim and Hashem was paid to you. This week's parashah. So to Rashi, what does that have to do with Mitzrayim? So Rashi, V'zokharta ki evet o yisa beretz Mitzrayim v'hanakti v'shinisi l'cho mi'bizas Mitzrayim u'bizas ayam af ato Hanik the Shinaloi. You too should give him and give him again. Just like you had by Mitzrayim, you had from Bezis Mitzrayim and Bezis Hayam, so too here you should give to your Eved, Hanik supply to every employee, you should be Hanik the Shinaloi. And the Mitzvah's Kinnik's chat, what does Rashi mean, Hanik the Shinaloi? He says that chat is this Inyan, that there's a base. This is a 30 sloy minimum, and then there's Meshabir Hashem. So too, by Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you Mibizus Mitzrayim, gave us Mibizus Mitzrayim, that was a bare minimum. Because that he already had Avtocho, he already promised Avraham Avinu, and that's what the Gemara Bracha says, that Lashon Pasuk goes, no, he's asking from Klai, so do me a taiva and be take from Mibizus Mitzrayim, Klai Kesev Klai Zot, because I promised Avraham Avinu, that was the bare minimum. And then he did, Vishinullah, he even gave him Mibizus, he gave us from Mibizus Hayam, that was extra credit, he gave us extra, that was Me'asher Birchu Hashem. So too, when you have an employee, you should be Hanik Tanik Loi, you should be Vishinullah as well. So therefore, it's applies not only if you have a minig, but if you don't have a minig, but even if you have a minig, let's say the minig is a certain amount of unemployment, but you know that you prospered while he was there, there's an Indian Zakhtar Chinuch to give him even more than what's standard, more than what's industry standard, Meshav Birch Hashem, of this Indian of the mitzvah of Hanukkah. If the employee quits, you're going to have to go both to the minig. I don't know, that doesn't say in the Chinuch. The mitzvah of Hanuk Tanukla wasn't when the employee quit. It was when the term was up. And you were hiring for 6 years, and he was for full 6 years. But the Chuvahs go to town, the Ramosha. Maybe we'll get to it later on in later Simonim about Pitzuyah and what the Minhagim are in each Inyan, in each industry. But even in absence of a minik, the for the backdrop, for the setting, you should remember this chinuk, the importance of Pitzuyah. Sorry? Shleishim Tzloyim. He doesn't say the chinuch doesn't apply shleishim tzloyim to an employee. He just says me'asher birchu Hashem. That was the action. So I don't know if you're meshubet to that. All right, let's do halakha. Actually, before I do halakha, I should point out that the Ksais asks that there's halakha that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring down. If you look in the Ksais of Cotton Bays, it talks about if an employee had begadim. You supplied him with begadim while he was employed to you, and he leaves. In Yotze Bezmanoi, in the middle of Sif Cotton Bays, he says, keeping the yodam balabais the uchei the saka the meipak bezmana yiboylei lasnuyim and the yovlei b'stama gomer maknilei. Since it's known that when he's going to leave, if you wanted to get your begadim back that you supplied him, you should have been masna with him. And he has a shot why the Shulchan Aruch leaves out this halakha. But basically, if an employer would supply clothing to an employee, and the employee would leave bezmana, if he wasn't masna with him to get the begadim back, he would have to leave the employee with the begadim. There is a Chuvah Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Dalet Simin Reish Chof, which says, besides that this is not Poshet, it's Makleikas Vishenim, the Minkafitim Big Zeh, and others who argue with this Rosh, but he said that it does not apply today to uniforms. He was talking about a case where part of the salary, even though it's Masna, but you supply your employee with benefits. One of the benefits was he gave him clothing to use. So now then, when he's finished and the clothing are still around, you maybe want the clothing back. There are similar halakas with Isha, with Takshitim, Chulila by a divorce, different halakas. But here, the Shevet HaLevi, if it's talking about where you hired a person, you gave him in a uniform, he works for a bus company, supplied with a uniform, or whatever it is, he's a salesman, he has the uniform of that company's name on it, it's clear that that uniform is shaykh to the company, and if he leaves, he cannot keep that uniform. And he would have to give the uniform back to the company. All right, let's do halakha gimel. Sorry? Makhari, you're right. If that would be a good application, if you have a company car, if that's like a benefit that you have, and when they say that, and they put it under your name, so they gave it to you, and now you leave, so maybe you could start applying it to this Shaila. If you were not masna, maybe the employee could be able to keep their car or not. Unless maybe if the car has like a major logo on it that it works for the company, maybe it'll be like. Whatever the minig is, you go bust in a minig. Clearly, if the minig is that you give back the car, you got to give back the car. Or if you have computers, very often a company would supply with computers to work at home, and then you leave, would you have to now give back the computer or not? Now, again, we'll be totally obviously hakolah fi a minig. Clearly, in all these inyanim, it's kaminag medina. All right, let's do Sif Gimel. Hasaychus apoyel v'amru lo keechudu kishnayim mebnei ir. The terms were, you didn't specify exact price, but you said, I'm hiring you like one or two people in the city. I mean, it's like the going rate in the city. How will you convey or what that's considered? What's considered the going rate? That the makaba makashvin ayesa shebeschiris v'apokha shebeschiris. You find out in the industry what's the most expensive employee and what's the cheapest employee. And you cut it in half. If let's say the range is anywhere between $30 to $40 an hour, and then you give $35. If anything is between $50 and $100 an hour, then you'll give $75 an hour. You take the high and the low and you cut it in half, and that's considered ke'echad u'kishnayim d'mneya. That's considered the average in the city. And within the Rishon HaMavur, the Ksais mentions, touches upon it, that if it will be stam, if I just say I'm giving you the average price or the going rate in the city, I'd be bound to give you this medium, this in-between price. If the high is 6 and the low is 4, you have to give 5, that is the middle.
Within the industry?
Sorry?
Within the industry.
Now, of course, it has to be not only within an industry, but it has to be within the type of person you're going to as well. For example, if you bedavka get this lawyer to take your case, because he's a mumkin, he specializes in this, he can't say, well, the industry is, you get any shoemaker lawyer for $20 or whatever, $50 an hour, $100 an hour, and now we'll reckon with the low. Now, if he specializes, he does a specialty, or he's, let's say, a Harvard lawyer, and you're getting him to do a specialized case, and there's an industry for this type of a case, then you have to look, even in a specialized, focused industry. I mean, it's not just across the spectrum of all lawyers. It's in this tort law, whatever the law you're going to get into, that's what you'll have to do. Sorry? Right, for example, let me give you a practical example. There are electricians in town. They're good, bad, or plumbers in town. They're good, worse, and even worse. Right? So you'll have a range of plumbers, right? Now, the reason why I hired, let's say, the best plumber in town is because I wanted the best plumber in town, so I shouldn't have to call him back a month later, right? So now I hired the best plumber in town. I don't mention the price with him. I say, and now I say, okay, so now I'll give you the average price. If I bedavka went to him and he's known as in the class, then yes, I have to give him like the average in his class, but if he's the only one in his class, then you're going to have to give him his price. If you have a few people in this class, you'll make this formula for that class. But I can't use even the lower-end plumbers or the lower-end cleaners or the lower-end whatever professions you have.
It only helps when a plumber who's starting out. If there's a plumber who's been working for 10 years and he's got a certain shot, but you didn't ask him, He has a certain shot.
No, not him, but if you went to him because he's a mumkha, because he's better, and the reason why I took that plumber is because I was relying on his mumkhas.
Right, but what I'm saying is let's say I went to, like, in this case, the better plumbers, worse plumbers. I went to this guy. For the last 10 years, he charges $50 an hour, $100 an hour, whatever it is. So the chayra, he should be able to say, look, if you ask anybody, I take $50 an hour.
Yeah,
you
but it's
say because I didn't tell you, and if someone takes more than me or somebody takes less than me.
Well, if it's Kagak Shnaim Vaneya, even though this person has an artificial minimum, means he himself always charges $50 an hour, but if I don't know about it, unless he told me it's clear to everybody, if I don't know about it, then I didn't know. I wasn't knocked to that price. If you tell me I know about it because I used them last week, you're right. I don't know what a good plumber is if I need him again. But yes, you would be right.
If you could have asked anybody on the street, what is this plumber charge? They would tell him.
If you tell me it's your duo, I don't believe that's the typical case that it's your duo. If you tell me it's your duo, it's fine. I'm just saying within the range, that's where the formula is within his class. And that would be now the mice is the smart points out, since you take the high and the low and you cut in half, the fee says like this man sif cut in hay, in ktsasan is karm begim of ktsasan behe, ktsasan bevav, you have 3, 5, and 6. Hey, nice lem hay kishar beni. You don't go bust a hay, which is the middle, the in between. That means the medium, the employee in the middle. Ela kishar mechsa shabena gimel avav ayna abba vechetzi. Because the formula the machabek gives is you take the high, you take the low, and you cut it in half. Top shot, you go bust the middle worker. It's you take the high and the low, and you go bust in half. Even though no one in the world takes 4.5, but if I told you I'm giving you the average price, that's considered the average price. Now, Lokoyer and Simon Kuf Gimel, which is not really, I should mention already here. There's a Makoik as we're showing him. The Makab only passes like this, which is, look at the Ramam, the Ramah. There's Rashi Shita that says not like that. Rashi Shita is like what the Sma is trying to bavon, and says that you always go bust as the medium poil. And the reason being is because you have a Roiv. How do you have a Roiv? If you have 3, 5, and 6, I have 2 out of 3 poilim saying not to take more than 5. And I have 2 out of 3 poilim saying not to take less than 5. So I have a Roiv. Poilim was saying that the price is 5. So out Hilchus Roiv, because of the principle of Roiv, the price is Nikva plus a 5. And the Mechav and the Sma trying to bavon not to say like that Shita. Now the Chayin Simon Kuf Gimel, which is Hilchus Shuma, which is across the board for everything. Mazik, Gnev, Gzela, Gvizchoy, whatever it might be, Lechayin Noah as well, we discussed last year.
There again, there's a machlokes hashoinim, and there again, the Mechaber says the same halacha with a different marshal, but it was, let's say, 80, 90, and 120, you have to give 100, because that's the high, the low, and you cut it in half. But there, this map says that's not the minig. We don't pass it like those Rishonim of the Mechaber. We pass it like the other Rishonim, that I'll pee the roiv, you only pay 90 in that example. 80, 90, 120, the roiv says it goes for 90. So it's interesting that the Sma in Hukushumo passed on like the other Rishonim. Here he doesn't mention Tag. It could be, I don't know, I didn't see anyone who asked the Stira, but maybe it could be Mechalak. And in Hukushumo, Taka, the price is like the Sma says over there. And we passed on like the Sma. That's how we know it. But Lagabi, if I went out and I told you, Kechuk Shnaim Mimene here, then that Lashon might indicate not the real price, not the Shuma price, but the price of the average. Kechuk Shnaim Mimene here, the average price. And that's why even here the Sma would be mighty. You take the high and the low and you cut it in half. Now, sorry, in a no, we will go like of the Sma. Correct. We'll go like the Sma over there. Correct. Okay, I would like to discuss, we have a few minutes, I would like to discuss a few halachas which are negate Hilchos Poelim, which are not in the Shulchan Aruch, but I think they're important halachas. First halacha is, are you allowed to have a poel who's a kohen? The Kiddashta, you're now allowed to be a Mishamish, the Yishami says, the son of Mishamish was a kohen, he's Moel, the Kohuna, he does Issa Mila, are you allowed to have a kohen who's an employee? And they bring a raya, the Goyis Maimini brings a raya, the Smag brings a raya from Halacha, the Raman brings down the halachas of an Eved Ivri who's a kohen, that he does, that is not Nirtza. Halacha, you can't do Nirtza on him, because if you're going to make a hole, you're going to make a mum, and that's going to pass him, he's not going to be shoved to his Akuzosa, where he was, to his family, Shavla Mishpachtai, Bishlei Musa, to his Din Kuhuna, because he made a mum. But Vais says that he is an Eved, and Vais says he could even work out of Yovel, choice you don't do Ritziah, but he is an Eved. Sorry? So they ask, maybe it was a Ganav. That only works for the first 6 years. It's a very good kasha, excellent kasha. And that would only work for the first 6 years. But now, when he says a hafti, as Adonav, as Ishtav, as Bani, whatever, over there, now what is he doing? Now, Nisan al Skenevi, he's staying on. Why is he staying on? I, Lechay, the Kohen, should not allow him to stay on. So they bring a raya. They bring a raya from there that you could have an employee who is a kohen. And the smag says the reason why you're allowed to do that is because you pay him. And since you pay him, I guess the understanding is that it's not a gnai to his kahuna. He's not. It's not a bizoyin to his kahuna because he's getting paid for his work. But then that's what I'm about to say. You're copying the ice. But kum dois that if the only heter is. If the only heter is because you're paying him, it's not a bazillion. So if let's say you have a kohen who's an employee and he's going to buy lunch and you say, you know what, pick up a lunch for me too, or can you make me a coffee, or on the way to the work, could you stop in a store, or whatever it is, could you pick up, let's say even if it's work-related materials, but that's not part of his job and he's not being paid for it, it would be also to ask him for any toiva, anything beyond the scope of his employment, what he's being paid for. And if I saw a sefer, Nesiv HaSacher, says that therefore if you ever hire a kohen, you should be masna with him, that his schiris is koilel, everything, not only his, you know, focus, whatever it's specified, the job-related things, but even the general things that happen in the workplace, all favors and everything like that, is also included, and he's being paid for that as well, and therefore I would not be mishamish with a kohen. So they say over there, since he's getting a good point, they mention it, but the Birka Yes, I think, says because he's getting a mezoinis and a makom lina, whatever it is, that's considered his payment, staying on as an eved. He has a shivka, as a wife, whatever it is, he has benefits that he's being supplied by his employer, so that's fine. Now, I should mention once. To make all this condition, but to make the condition?
If you send him out to get some food and you say you could also get yourself a donut at the same time, he's getting paid. That's the payment because I give him.
Oh, if you give him a donut, if it'd be nokus for that payment, maybe. All right. I would like to mention, I'm running out of time, I just want to mention a few points and I'll take questions afterwards. There's a few things I want to happen. The Moshe pointed out a Shari Tshuva, which by the way says not only if you have a kohen as an employee, but all employees, he says that if you ask them to do favors for you, in a way that they can't turn you down, they feel uncomfortable to turn you down because of their employment, it's a lav of Loisidu by Bavarech. And he's any employee, and I'll read you the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yoino, It's in Shar Shlishi, Oy Samach. He says, Lo Yishtabit Odom Bechaverov, Vimosai Aleim, Oshim Boishim Lohochot Vorei. They're embarrassed to turn you down. Lo Yitzav Oysim Lasis Ketano Oy Gedoylo, Elur Lutzainim Vetaalton. And he gives a few mashalim as well, just in case you don't understand. He says, "Afilu lohachem tapachs mayim, just to warm up a cup of water, make me a coffee." Or lotzeis b'shlichusay rochev yeh, go to a store, liknois ad kika lechem, even at just one piece of bread or one roll, one loaf. Aval adam she'enu noig. And then he says that you have certain exceptions, but the halacha he says that if you ask someone to do something and he cannot turn you down, he feels uncomfortable or embarrassed to turn you down, like an employee-employee relationship, you'd be over love of leisidu by beforech. So it's not just to Kohanim, it's for all employees. Another Indian I would like to mention is, are you allowed to have your father as an employee? Or is it a problem of kibud av? In the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerideya, in Siman Reish Mem, Sif Chaf Hei, says that if your father is a Ben Torah, it is also for you to take him as an employee. If he's not a Ben Torah, then you're allowed to have him work for you, but if he's a Ben Torah, you're now allowed to have him work for you. Sorry? All right. If he needs it for a panosa, so there are halachas over there that if he insists that he wants, he initiates it, and he wants to come to you, it's a big mavuch amongst the achrayim if you should even allow him, even if he urges and insists that he wants to work for you, wants to help you out, if you're allowed to do it, if he's a Ben Torah. Okay, good point. Good question. You really should look. It's a get of a bazoin. It means it's a shtuk of bazoin. In kibbutz, if he's a Ben Torah, he shouldn't be treated like that. A father who's a Ben Torah should be treated differently than a father who's not a Ben Torah. But you should really look over there. All right, one second. I want to cover on another halacha. There's going to be two more halachas. I'll be Messiah, and then we'll take questions. Another halacha is an employee allowed to hire himself out to do jobs which involve some degree of sakana? Could he do roofs, install windows, climb on ladders, or whatever it is? If it involves sakana, is there an inyan of nishmat moedin lenafshei seichem? Does an inyan now allowed to also to put yourself into a sakana? Does an employee allowed to put himself into a sakana? And both Noda Behuda and Ramosha say, yes, it is permissible to put him in Sakon. Ramosha points out a Sakon or Rochuk, but Elevu Noisias Nasha, the Makar is from Elevu Noisias Nasha. And the Rashi points out, he climbs on the Elon, he puts himself into Sakon, his life's in jeopardy, and nevertheless, it's permissible. As long as it's Sakon or Rochuk. The God of the Shalat to the Noda Behuda was, is a person at leisure, for pleasure, he likes to hunt. He wants to know, is he allowed to hunt? Is it a problem with Tzav Alechayim? Is it a problem with Baal Tashkis? He has different problems, and the Nedi Behuda says, no, it's not this problem, it's not that problem. But then he says, it's in Midas Achzorius. He only finds hunters by Esav and Nimrod. It's not the way to have pleasure. And then he says, that's Mitzad Yosher, and he said, Mitzad Allah, it would be also to become a hunter, because you have to endanger yourself going into the forest. It involves a certain degree of danger. He said, Bishlam, if you're getting paid, you're a worker. Elevu Neisis Nafshe, you have the right to put yourself in the Sakana, but otherwise not. And the Shalat to Ramosha was, are you allowed to become a professional athlete? Same thing, it involves a degree of Sakana, people get hurt. You're becoming a boxer and a hockey match might break out, or you're playing hockey and a boxing match might break out. So you have a problem there, or any sport that is, people sometimes get hurt. So anyway, that's what Ramosha says, that if you're an employee and you're getting paid for it, you're allowed to, but if not, you'll not be allowed to put yourself in the Sakana. Why are you allowed to? It's a positive. Elevu Noisei Snapshot. It's a what the Hagdara and why they don't say, but if I say that's an exception.
The Pasuk says that the hunting is much later.
What? What say this?
It's
okay, there's nobody that I don't believe quoted that time. Okay. Another final halacha is if you're an employee and the employer asks you to do something which is awesome, which asks you to do something which involves even a degree of lifnaiva. Let's say, for example, the employee would like to do certain forms of mata akum, which involves severe yisuri deraisa, and you would like to just fill out the forms for him, but he submits the forms, whatever it is, or do dreidlich for him, and you're an employee, there's going to be an issa of lifnaiva, and you're not allowed to do that malacha. Grad, if it's only a degree of misayeya, which is not for tonight, there's a machloikas achreinim, if you're getting paid, is it an issa of misayeya l'day l'dvar averin? And any time you have such a shail, I suggest you ask halakha competent halakhic authority to give you guidance. But I would like to theorize with a Shulchan Aruch. If you look in later on in Shin Lamed Zayin, Sifchav. The Machabe says, Muzar HaPoyom Shelo Yevatel Ma'at Kan U'Ma'at Kan. He's not allowed to take off, not allowed to be Mevatel, even a little bit here or there. Shilam Adayin Sifchav. Elechayiv L'daktek Alatzmei Bizman. He has to come on time, he has to be careful with his time. They didn't even allow an employee to bench the fourth bracha for Bittul's man. Not just an Olam Haba, even Olam Hazeh paid off. It's important for an employee not to be mevatel even his man muet. He should be sensitive to the issue. Now, we sometimes help ourselves to make a phone call, I mentioned, to a spouse, or an email, or copy, or fax, or whatever it is. Whatever the minig is allowed. But beyond the minig, if it's not a clear minig, and what's the minig? Ramah. Maisim b'chol yoyim. If it's beyond that, maisim b'chol yoyim, then you have a problem, you're not allowed to be mevatel. And not only is it a problem mitzad the employee, but it's a problem for everybody else as well. The Sefer Chassidim says you're not allowed to approach an employee during his employment to be mevatel him. You have an issa that you're staring him, you're interrupting him from his employment. And God is the Gemara in Tainis, Chav Gimel Mebeis, Abba Chilkiyo, he's Enikov, Chani Amagel over there, they gave him shalom, and he didn't return. He didn't even respond to say, Aleichem shalom. And they asked him, why not afterward? And he said, I'm a schir yoyim, I cannot interrupt from the malacha. So if a person does that and shtares an employee, he has a serious shaila of mazik, zeila, whatever it is, to his employer, and obviously he's not allowed to do that. It's interesting, it's a Shmais Rabbah, a difficult Shmais Rabbah, maybe you can explain it to me, but at least the Sinyan is there. The Medrash wants to know how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in a snare boyer ba'esh. Why did he do that? Why did he pick a snare, a burning, flame snare? Why did he do that for? And he said, because since he was working for Yisro, he's an employee of Yisro, he was a raya for Yisro, because the Baruch couldn't just talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was in the middle of his employment. He's mevatelim from his employment. So what he did is he made this unbelievable sight, and I don't know why he's allowed to do that, but he made this unbelievable sight to distract him. Now, once he was distracted, it's Madrik and the Pasuk, once he was distracted, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to give him a Nevuah. We're talking about the Nevuah of the Geula. The Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Navi, right? He was upon him, upon it. This is the biggest moment, the biggest Nevuah possible, right? And the Geula of Mitzrayim, and even for that, that's not Doicha, his Malacha, for working for Yisrael. And the only way to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to distract him some other.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.